Okay. My name is Johan Linåker. I'm a senior researcher at the National Research Institute in Sweden and Lund University. I'm going to give some insights and examples of how development and collaboration can be happening in public sector open source projects. It's a study I did together with friends and colleagues from Spain and Lund, or Sweden as well, Skövde University and other places, Björn, Francisco, Jonas, Sachko and Gregorio. We crawled 7 different public sector open source project catalogs, and then we find a quite narrow sample of what we identified as quite mature cases. So we did a lot of interviews, we did a lot of mining, etc., to really find some insights and examples to provide others in how you can go about in with doing open source collaboration development in the public context, and how that may differ towards the more general, maybe informal practice that you can find in more projects in the wild. Okay. So the cases we looked at was, one example was the Energy Plus project. It's a simulation program for energy consumption in houses from the US. We looked at those two forms from our Danish friends. and we looked at Oskari, map application platform powering the GeoPortal in Finland. We looked at GeoTrek, a platform for managing and enable exploration of national parks in France. We looked at the Marche Simplifier, could call it an e-source platform by Denum in France. And we also looked at the IO app, so a citizen entry app in Italy for accessing digital public services. So, looking at the development practices, what we saw was that quite aligned with open source in a lot of contexts is that the development was very centered to a very few set of people, a core team typically between 2 to 15 in the most cases, doing like most amounts of development, as we can see in a lot of other contexts as well. Generally, an open development happening on GitHub in these cases. And they used very formal, very structured agile processes, very detailed quality assurance processes. And this aligns quite well because all the development, there wasn't really a lot of development happening like across organization. Most of it was happening within domain. Public entity or the vendor doing that development. So there wasn't a lot of community development in these cases that we looked at. Software was generally reported high quality, high level of usability and so on, which could refer to that. We looked at the different types of sponsorships and one kind of who develops or who funds the development and who drives the development basically. And one major part here was where it's really centered to a certain few, a one or a very few, very resourceful organizations, be it a public service company or a ministry or something. It's typically a very business critical, these applications for them, so it really warrants a major investment for them in these applications. And then the more decentralized model, where you have a lot of different peer public entities collaborating, co-funding the development, driving the development more in a community way, I would call it, together with service providers in the cases we looked at. In terms of development resources, again, it was typically performed within one organization, one way or the other, either by the public institution in itself or through a vendor. One case was the PagoPA, in the other cases was the resources was procured in some one way or the other, typically consultants in some cases, really highlighting this general notion of outsourcing and trusting yourself on external capabilities, especially on a municipal level. So PagoPay is quite interesting because they are the output of an experiment really where Italy or the government wants to like build their own capabilities, build their own development teams and grow vendor independence long term. So that was kind of unique in this case, but a very interesting approach. And again, all across suppliers was really highlighted as key for the sustainability of these projects. There needs to be suppliers out there that can support the development because, again, in most cases, except PagoPay, you were reliant on either doing consultants or having vendors to develop the software. So for the project to stay sustainable, you need to have suppliers with a sustainable business out there that can support you in this. So the planning and decision-making was typically done top-down by the public entities funding the development, either through some kind of technical steering committee with those involved, or through direct communication between the municipality or public entity and the vendor. So, and this could be run in parallel, so there could be like overall coordination happening while still municipalities going directly to the vendor to fast-track some things. And in some cases also then for the internal teams. And this is something to maybe consider is that by how you include vendors or so the service suppliers in your collaborations, excluding them fully and just doing with the public entities in collaboration, that may you may lose insights from the vendor service supplier, which could help you actually in the development. And also by fully relying on the vendor or the service supplier in coordinating, that can lead to soft lock-ins. So you kind of lose track of the project. So it's really finding this balance in how you include the service suppliers and vendors in the projects. And this becomes then a matter of how you do public procurement, for example, if you're doing it below the threshold limits and you can do direct procurement or if you have frame agreements and so on. So that needs to be considered in context as well. And there also was an interesting note in the interviews that was a large preference for local service suppliers and vendors to have some kind of closer collaboration and relationship with them. And then in terms of communication, all the projects have some kind of formal communication, but a lot of the communications was happening closed. Between inside the organization, like within the vendor or the public institution doing the development, but also directly between the public entities and the vendors. So this is also like a risk. It risks creating these cliques or isolated communication, really losing a lot of the benefits with the openness and transparency of open source, really creating a big barrier for others to come in and start collaborating and see what's done and so on. So this is also something to think about how communication is done. Community engagement, the community were very user-oriented. But we can still talk about some kinds of contributions in terms of funding, sustaining the development, of course, providing subject matter expertise to the requirements engineering process, but also in terms of the general shaping and knowledge sharing and identifying of bugs and so on. So not much about like the more technical code contributions here, so more about the higher level in sustaining the projects. The user bases, so the is often quite limited. It's typically public sector entities. But there's somewhat higher user communities, so not these developer communities as we find in the wild, basically, or mostly. But the number of end users are much, much greater. So depending on how we draw the borders of the user community, it will be much, much greater because these projects that we look at are really core in different kinds of digital public infrastructure or public services. So they are still of great importance. And in terms of sustainability, we have touched upon it, but in the central model, there's a lot of reliance on this core entity, like the land survey in Finland, for example. If they were to pivot, or if any other case, then a lot of other ministries or agencies relying on this project would have to reconsider. And if you're heavily invested or locked in, it can be costly. So it's important, as open source projects in general, to think about the robustness and the bus factor, or whatever we call it, how development is concentrated and what you're doing to address this. And on the other way around, in a more decentralized sponsorship model, where you have a lot of different public entities collaborating, co-funding, co-pooling money, you often need to grow up until a certain level, a number of municipalities, for example, for it to help sustain the development and so on. Otherwise, you need a certain few larger ones with more capability to fund the development. But that's typically not sustainable in the long term, because again, it becomes a reliance on someone, be it like the capital city in the country. And they want to move on, so there needs to be a sustainable funding model for public sector collaborations as well. I talked in the funding dev room this morning, and there we talked more about these community rooms, and but it's also an issue here. So some further recommendations. Really, you need to consider growing an open collaboration involving enabling more public entities to come in and help co-fund the development, grow capabilities, consider the suppliers' business models, that they are profitable, enabling that you don't end up in a lock-in, having transparent, continuous check-ins on code and so on, and also consider involving the vendors and the suppliers. Okay, that was a...